The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
All right, fight fans, we are live on this Friday afternoon, December 4th, 2020. Man, it just feels good to say December after this crazy year, but we're here. The UFC has three more events left here in 2020. The first of the trio goes down tomorrow night at the Apex, UFC Vegas 16, and there's been a lot of shuffling of the deck, so to speak, in regards to the main event at 185 pounds, but now it'll be Jack Hermansson taking on Marvin Vettori, a really interesting matchup. We're going to talk all about it with all of you as we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 16 preview show here on MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck, being joined by the Prince of Positivity, Alex K. Lee. There he is, producer extraordinaire, E. Casey Lydon, back from a brief vacay. Hello, sir. And we're also being joined by a very special guest, one of the voices of the UFC, the voice of Dana White's Contender Series, fellow Massachusetts guy. He is the great Brendan Fitzgerald. Welcome to the preview show, sir. How are you?
Thank you, Mike. How are you guys doing? Happy to be with you.
It is great to have you here, Brendan. Since you are the special guest, mm-hmm. We will kick things off with you because the main event tomorrow night is going to feature Jack Hermansson. Jack Hermansson was originally slated to fight Darren Till. Then it was Kevin Holland. And then 6 days ago, we found out that Holland tested positive for COVID-19. And now Hermansson is going to fight Marvin Vettori, a guy who has just been itching for an opportunity like this for a little while now. It's clear that Darren Till was the biggest name of the three. Holland was a really intriguing matchup. But now with Vettori stepping in, give us your thoughts on the main event, along with Hermansson's sort of bring it on mentality here.
Yeah, well, the bring it on mentality is I think that served fighters this year better than in any other year. You see guys that have turned it around in a few weeks' time or a month, or Kevin Holland got four fights in the span of like 3 months. You know, there's no other time, even if you want to stay busy, there's no other time in my few years that anybody's been able to do that. So the bring it on thing is good and it's all thumbs up, but the opportunity was with Jack Hermansson to try to build his name right off of Darren Till and the star that he is. And then we've seen this in other fights too this year, where the opportunity, the higher ceiling, if you will, then shifts to the other side. All of a sudden, Marvin Vettori is fighting a guy in the top five. Not to say he doesn't deserve it, just that he obviously wasn't expecting an opportunity like that this soon. And man, he's been really good every time in. If he can win this one, and he talks a lot of trash and he gets in your face, he's good for the cameras in terms of the optics of the fight game. It's stare downs and weigh-ins and all that other stuff. So you know, big one for Marvin Vettori, all Europe in the main event, and speaks volumes that they have Vettori as the favorite here, albeit slightly, but I think it's a great matchup.
I agree. AK, what do you think? Because Vettori moves up a week. He was supposed to fight Jacare at UFC 256. He and Kevin Holland pull the old switcheroo. In your opinion, AK, is this fight more intriguing, less intriguing than the Hermanson-Holland fight? What do you think?
I think in a way, I'll say in a way a bit more intriguing, because I do think a lot of people have been eager to see Vettori fight again and to get a higher ranked opponent, because there was a while there, you know, who's calling out like Chris Weidman, obviously trying to, you know, find a name, find a way that he could creep up a different way. But now to just be handed, I shouldn't say handed, but now to be snatching the opportunity to face a top five guy is huge. I think Brendan raised a really good point as far as, you know, we can be sometimes critical of the decisions that fighters make when they're like, they fight, oh, I'm going to take this fight on a week's notice. I'm going to take this fight on 3 weeks' notice. And sometimes we'll say, like, oh, is this really good for this guy's career? Shouldn't he be, you know, be more strategic? He's coming off two straight wins or what have you. But this year, he's absolutely right. I mean, we're mentioning Holland. We're talking about him as possibly the fighter of the year, depending how his next fight goes, right, later this month. And you wouldn't have thought that was possible at the beginning of the year. If you had said Kevin Holland was in the front runner for fight of the year, everyone would have said you're out to lunch. How is that even possible? But he's made the most of these circumstances, and now Vettori's doing the same thing. If you had said beginning of the year, Vettori could be putting himself on the short list for a potential title shot, and make no mistake about it, if he beats Hermanson, that is what's going to happen. He's in the top five. When you're in that top five, all you need is a bit of luck, and you know, maybe some bad luck to befall your peers for yourself to get a title shot out of nowhere. So if he's snatching this opportunity, we didn't see it coming. And for Hermanson, you know, it's a great fight, just entertainment wise, and also to prove that he belongs in the top five. But really, for Vettori, boy, he has so much to gain from this. And there's really no begrudging any fighters jumping on short notice opportunities this year.
Casey, like the two other gentlemen stated, Vettori, you know, despite kind of going in there with a lot to gain and, you know, some to lose, he has a little bit of pressure on him because he's been screaming at the rooftops for a top 10 guy. Now he gets a top five guy. It's time to put your money where your mouth is. But I certainly feel like the lion's share of the pressure is still on Jack Hermanson. Much more to gain for Vettori, certainly. But should Hermanson get a win, which the odds makers, as Brendan sort of alluded to, they have Vettori as around a minus 140 favorite as of right now. Where does Hermanson go from here? Does this do much for him in terms of getting closer to a title shot?
Not really. It's like, unfortunately, I just don't think. I think the lines kind of prove what we're kind of thinking about Hermanson, in the sense that even though he is top five, he just doesn't seem to get the respect from the fans still. I mean, was Vettori, was he a favorite over Jacare?
Probably.
I don't think that line was out yet.
Oh, that line wasn't out yet. Okay. Well,
yeah, probably.
So what would you think? Would you think he'll be a favorite against Jacare?
So
I would think so.
Okay, so I guess most fans and media just feel like Vettori just needs an opportunity, I guess, to face a higher ranked opponent. But back to your question, it's like, what does this do for Hermanson and for Vettori? Not too much, even though he's considered an underdog coming in the fight, which I think is weird. I mean, I think we'll talk about it later, but I think Hermanson's really good. But very dangerous fight for Hermanson, but you can't really pass it up either, just because considering he just doesn't have, I don't know, just even though he's high ranked, people don't feel he's a title contender yet.
What do you think is at stake here for Hermanson, AK? I mean, we talked about Vettori. If he wins this fight, he's, like you said, he's right there. He's in the conversation, at least, for a title shot. He's probably still needs another win or two to get there. But if Hermanson goes out there and, let's say, he submits Vettori in the first three rounds, where does he go from here?
It's so tough to say, especially given, you know, we don't know exactly what's going on with Israel Adesanya. Obviously, the plan is for him to go up and fight Jan Blachowicz. So should that happen, then at least the rest of the middleweights kind of in this limbo, which several of them have discussed already. Plus Robert Whittaker being the number one contender, but making it clear he doesn't plan to fight until a bit later in 2021. You know, he has another child on the way. Understandable, but again, making things a bit murky for everyone. Paulo Costa has been lobbying for a rematch ever since that unfortunate loss to Adesanya. So I don't downplay the importance of just for lack of a better term, treading water. I think holding on to the spot is very important, because again, depending on how everything else shakes out, maybe Whittaker, you know, he comes back, but also or he decides to take a longer break or suffers a minor injury that keeps him out. Suddenly, Hermanson is right there in that top five to again either face Adesanya if he decides to come back and defend his title soon after that heavyweight title fight, if that even happens, or the dreaded interim title fight happens. You've got to get two names at 185. And Hermanson could easily be one of them, especially, like you said, with an impressive win over Vettori. So I do not downplay the importance of Saturday's fight for him at all.
Brandon, if Marvin Vettori wins and Kevin Holland wins...
Hold on. I just want to piggyback on the Hermanson thing real quick.
Sure.
So, like, at stake is not much in terms of rankings. He's fighting down in the rankings. But you look at the top five, if Whitaker's going to be on the shelf, if Costa's not rushing to get back, he already fought Cannonier at three. So Hermanson's sitting there, like, if he doesn't take this fight, then what does he do? Just sit on the shelf then and try to wait for one of those guys? And then also kind of screw over the UFC in terms of a main event. So then they don't want to do him any favors. You know, it's you're put in a position where sometimes it's good to hold your spot like that, get some equity with the company, prove that you do belong, prove that the levels are different, right? Anthony Smith fought Devin Clark. He got him out of there in 2 minutes, right? He was six. He fought out of the rankings and he was like, cool. And then he took care of his business in a major way and then got him out of there. So with Hermanson, I think you're looking at that factor too, where it's not like he can just, no, I'm not going to take this one and I'll get Till in February in a main event. It's like that's not how it works either. So I think, you know, for him, it's still a good test too. You know, it's still a really good test. All right, go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to go ahead.
Is this Hermanson's first main event?
No, he fought.
No.
Okay. He has
Cannonier. Yeah.
Okay. Cannonier. Okay.
Jacare too.
Oh, and he fought Jacare.
Jacare as well.
Okay. I'm sorry.
But yeah, I think what Brendan's. I don't think he's going to put it this way, but I hate to turn this into a verb, but I don't think anyone wants to be Leon Edwards did at this point. If you guys know what I mean. Like poor Leon Edwards again. You know, went from so many opportunities. He's on this huge win streak and had all these opportunities in front of him, and they just fell apart for reasons outside of his control. And suddenly he enters 2021 just in this completely nebulous state. Is he viewed as a contender by the UFC? We don't know. So I think that's sort of the point as well, that Hermanson, you cannot say no. You cannot be picky. You have to stay busy. You have to stay in the public eye. You have to keep winning. Even a loss, I think just staying active and fighting guys at Vettori is important. So yes, you just don't want to be put in that unfortunate corner that Leon Edwards found himself in this year.
Well, sometimes, yeah, you can choose to sit out like Leon has in some regard. Leon, you know, obviously COVID happens the week before his fight against Woodley, all that sort of stuff happens. But there are some fighters too that choose to stay on the shelf, but then they look back 18 months later and they're like, man, what if I took this opportunity and this? Meanwhile, you look at Kevin Holland, who of course was lined up for this main event, and it's because he always said yes and then backed it up. You know, so if you truly think you can back it up, it behooves you to say yes, prove it, and then the money gets bigger and the opportunities get bigger, and you build your star with the fans too, you know, and that equity goes a long way.
But you also don't want to be JoJo Calderwood and take a short notice fight against someone like Maya, and then
But JoJo now also is owed a favor. She knows it. They know it. And Dana had good things to say.
Oh no, I agree. Afterwards.
She's not going to have to do a lot to get that title shot.
Yeah.
Back. Right.
I think just turning it down completely wouldn't have been a good career choice.
Right. Yeah. It's tricky to do that.
Yep.
That video of him getting the phone call that Holland was out and that he's getting a new opponent, he just took it all in stride. It was amazing. It's absolutely amazing. If you told me, and then when they faced off today, if you told me that Marvin Vettori would be the one smiling and Jack Hermanson would be the one kind of mean mugging, probably wouldn't have believed you, but that's what we saw, which made things a lot more interesting. Brendan, I just want to get your take on this real quick. If Marvin Vettori wins tomorrow night and Kevin Holland beats Jacare, which guy are we looking at as kind of like the man to watch at 185? Are we looking more at Vettori, or are we taking Holland's overall 5-0 resume into account and we're looking at him as the guy with the higher ceiling? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't hate matching both of those guys up themselves. Like, I'm looking back at Vettori's, you know, resume. Like, the biggest thing on his resume might be the split decision against Adesanya, who was just mowing through people on his way to the top. And he goes split decision all three rounds with him. I don't know if you can separate them, because now Joaquin Buckley looks a lot different than he used to, you know. And after Kevin Holland beat him, it's like, oh, maybe he actually did beat somebody. And man, yeah, I mean, I think each of them is just waiting for that bigger name, that proven top 15 guy. They haven't beaten that guy yet. you know, but they're right there. They certainly each have their opportunities to, you know, Jacare is not in the top 15 right now, but he's got a resume that speaks for itself. So if they both win, I think you match them both up, right? And maybe see who really belongs up there. That might be a good one.
I'll tell you who would love that more than anybody, Kevin Holland. He's been anchoring for that fight for a while. I spoke to Kevin Holland the other day. He actually, go back and watch that interview if you're listening right now, because he actually prefers the Jacare fight because he feels that if he went in and beat Hermanson, becomes a main event guy, then he can't jump in and take short notice fights anymore. So he's actually happier with the Jacare fight. So he still, for a little while longer, can, as he said, have some fun in there, which is hilarious. Now, Brennan, I'm not going to ask for your pick. I'm not going to put you in that position, but AK, I will ask for yours. Who gets it done in the main event tomorrow night?
Well, I like Jack Hermanson so much, you know, and I think I have a bad habit lately of going against experienced people. At least I certainly did last week. I was on the Devin Clark train. I thought it was his time to kind of make that jump up. But of course, Anthony Smith, much more experienced, took care of business, great fighter. So having said that, of course, I'm doing it again, Mike, and once again going with the lesser experienced fighter. As you know, I like to double down. You know, that's what they call Alex Double Down Lee. That's what they call me. And so I am going to go Vettori. Is it going to go? No, I don't think it's going to go to a decision. I think Vettori will finish him, let's say, sometime in the third round. This is the amount of thought I've put into this. But let's go with Vettori.
All right. Casey, what do you think?
Oh, I'm going for Manson. I think Manson is very good. I think Manson is a legitimate top five middleweight. I think he's reaching his prime. And while I enjoy Vettori, enjoy his trash talk and just kind of throwing anything out there and see what sticks. You know, that's fun for easy articles and things like that. But I just think Hermanson is a better fighter, and I think he will submit him early in the second round.
It's a really interesting matchup. I mean, Vettori could absolutely go in there and get a win. I think he's got the skills, the stand up to get it done. Here's the thing. At some point, Hermanson is going to get this fight to the ground. It's just going to happen, but how is Vettori going to respond? Because yes, Vettori got the finish over Carl Roberson, but he was in a tough spot at one point. Roberson had his back, almost slapped on a rear naked choke. And if Jack Hermanson gets in that position, he's not going to miss. So if Hermanson can get him down and Vettori can get right back up quickly, that's going to be a huge confidence booster for him. But going off my gut like I typically do hasn't failed me too much. I'll go with my gut. I'll go with strategy. I kind of look at this thing when I make picks like I have actual money and supplemental income, like I would bet it, even though I don't. Hermanson at dog money just seems too good to pass up, and I'm not going to actually physically bet on this, but if I did, I can't ignore that. So give me Hermanson. No clue how. I just think he gets it done. Huge opportunity for Marvin Vettori for sure. We're going to get to the listener questions in a moment.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
But let's touch on the main on the co-main event quickly, because we did have one hiccup on the scale. And surprisingly, it was Ovin St. Preux, who was the first, one of the first to actually step on the scale, and he missed by a pound and a half. First time he's missed weight ahead of his fight against Jamahal Hill, who's now going to get 20% of OSP's first. So, Brendan, this is one of those prospect versus vet matchups that we're always so intrigued by, right? You called Jamahal Hill's contender series win. I think you called his other two fights as well.
Yeah.
And OSP been at this thing for a long, long time. He's coming off one of the kind of forgotten but really brutal knockouts of the year against Alonzo Menafield. But there is a lot of buzz around Jamahal Hill right now. Contender Series alum, 8-0. Hill is the favorite. He's as high as a minus 185 on some books right now. Are you surprised that he's, one, just favored here? And what do you think of the matchmaking at the points of the career for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I like it because you got OSP wants to still fight. And he's fought a ton of guys. So that limits who you can put him against. You don't want to just do a bunch of OSP rematches if you can help it. And so he does make a lot of sense as the guy to put against contender series up-and-comers or just prospects in general to see if they can truly hang. Because OSP is still a really good fighter. Like, he's proven that. And he's shut down a bunch of guys. He's shut down the prospects. So if you're a prospect that can go then beat him, Dominic Reyes, for instance, right, looked really impressive against OSP. And it's like, okay, he's for real. And Jamahal Hill has beaten, you know, Darko Stozic and then Clidson Abreu. So he's looking for a name. Like, he's, what is he, 8-0? 7-0. Oh, that was a no contest because of the weed.
Overturned,
so,
yeah.
So it's a victory. Like,
he's young in his career, and he's looking for a name because everybody who he's beaten so far has not been a name that people are going to be impressed by. I don't want to say I've underestimated Jamahal Hill each time, but I'm just surprised at how good he's looked. Even in the Stozic fight, when he went to a decision, he still looked really good, like just dominated that whole fight. And then, like, the knockout in the first round, the knockout in the second round on Contender Series, I was wary of how good he would be at this point of his career because of the experience, but he's proven that wrong. So I guess I'm surprised he's a favorite again over a guy like OSP who's been doing it for a long time. But Jamahal Hill, as motivated as ever, and OSP stepping on the scale 2 pounds heavy at 3 minutes after the weigh-in window opens. I don't know if you can draw from that or not, but, you know, this is a good test for Hill.
AK, Ovin St. Preux, I spoke with him like right before the Alonzo Menafield fight, and he feels like it's the dawn of a new era at 205 with John Jones expected to jump up to heavyweight. Opens things up a little bit. He feels a little bit better about things. Of course, it sucks that he missed weight, but then you have Jamahal Hill, who's getting, as Brendan said, this big chance to have a coming out party here. We haven't had a giant sample size of Jamahal Hill yet, but is he a guy, in your opinion, that you think to yourself, this guy is top 10, maybe even top 5 potential? Like, how high do you think this man's ceiling is right now?
Oh boy. Again, I'm pretty measured with these things. I'm always hesitant to overhype anyone. As anyone who's heard me talk about Khamzat Chimaev in any of our shows, you know, during this year, I've been the wet blanket a little bit when it comes to sort of building people. So I think Jamahal is hellaciously talented. I think anyone who's seen his fights can tell you that. Again, I know Brendan's got a closer look than the rest of us, so can definitely attest to that. But I really see this as just a bridge too far at this point in his career. It is. I know it sounds like I'm doing the opposite of the Vittori Hermansson pick, but we're talking about this will be his third UFC fight versus St. Preux, his 22nd at light heavyweight. That's crazy. That's a huge, huge jump. Now, talent and youth certainly. In the combat sports, it can close a lot of that experience gap. I understand that, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who'll be looking at this as St. Preux almost being fed to a prospect that the UFC likes. I don't view it that way. I think St. Preux is still such a strong, legitimate test. He is, I think, still ranked. I believe he's 15 in the UFC's official rankings. So, and you know, light heavyweight, maybe not the deepest division, but that still means something. So I don't know if Hill's ready for this challenge yet. So saying that, I don't know how highly I can predict that, you know, that I feel like he's going to be a future top 10 guy. Don't know about that yet. I want to see how he reacts to this fight. Not necessarily how he wins or loses, but his performance and how he reacts to the results, particularly if it doesn't go in his favor. That kind of would tell me a lot about his future as a contender at 205 pounds.
We want to get to the questions. So AK, is that your pick? You're picking OSP here?
I'm picking OSP. And by the way, just for anyone out there, it's crazy. That's the first time he's missed weight. This is 22nd appearance at 205 pounds. First time he's missed weight. So I think he's excused. COVID-19 has thrown everything to chaos. I'm just going to mad to mention that. But yeah, I'm going to go with OSP, I think.
Casey, who do you got here? You got the wily veteran or the surging prospect in the co-main event?
I'm going surging prospect. I like Jamal Hill. I don't know if he's a top five, top 10 guy eventually, but I more than anything, I just like this matchmaking. I love prospect versus vet. I love the placement in the card, the co-main event on a fight night card. This is just there's no real deep storyline on this fight. It's just, can OSP stay relevant or Jamal Hill a new contender? And I think he's very good. I think OSP missing weight, especially at 9 a.m. by a pound and a half, that's just odd. It just doesn't make sense, really, especially because it was only a pound and a half. But you know, there must be something to that story. We'll find out eventually. But I think this is Jamal Hill's night, and we'll see. I'm excited. Actually, I'm excited. I'm excited about fresh faces at 205.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on Jamal Hill. It's not just the power that the man possesses in his hands and his feet, but he puts out so much volume. It's crazy. He's always moving. He's always throwing from all angles and every limb in his body. And, you know, OSP certainly has the ability to get this fight to the floor and do what he does. And sort of similar to the Vittori Hermansson fight, if OSP gets him down and gets on top of him, how is he going to react to that? If he can get back up to his feet, it could be a long night for OSP. But OSP could certainly start Von Pruing dudes, and we'll see what happens. So if Hill doesn't mind his P's and Q's, you know, that is a strong possibility. But I think Jamal Hill is ready for this moment. I think he sends a strong message to everyone at 205, and I think he picks up the biggest win of his career. I don't know if he gets a finish, but I do think he gets it done. But interesting main card, a 6-fight main card, AK. I know that gets you excited. We got Gabriel Benitez.
10 p.m. ET start time. Woo!
Oh, it's one of those. Oh,
woo! Dang. Post fight show around 2 a.m., ladies and gentlemen. So set your alarm clock. So we got Benitez versus James. That should be a banger at 55. We got Montana De La Rosa versus Tylus Santos. Roman Dolidze versus John Allen. That's going to be a crazy fight at 205. And then a fight years in the making, Nate Landwehr versus Movsar Evalev. That's going to kick things off. 10 p.m. Eastern main card, 6 fights, AK, all the feels. But Casey, let's go to the peeps.
Ready
for see
the
what's on their mind.
All right.
Ahead of this fun card tomorrow.
1 second.
What is Alex Cayley's middle name? Please tell me it's Alex Kevin Lee. I don't even know the answer to this question. We're best friends.
Kevin Lee is my cousin, obviously, as is Andrea Lee. So it's always a hell of a gathering we get together. No, the K stands for quality. Especially when it comes to spelling. So there you go. Alex Quality Lee. There you go.
Is that K-U or K-W?
It's actually K-I-E-U-W. I'll send it out later to people. I'll tweet it out later. Don't worry about it. I don't want to spell it. There's an accent in there as well. Yeah.
Alex, button your top button like a professional.
That's not a question. That's not a question. I don't have
any more. But my top
button either. Come on. Guys. Get out of here. Get this troll out of here. That does look sharp. That does look pretty sharp.
Thank you. All right. So we got any real questions?
Honestly.
Hold on. Oh, I just lost it. Where'd it go?
Ooh. Prince Vegeta-san. How will Vittori's age and last performance that was underwhelming play into this fight?
By the way, that pronunciation of Vegeta is that pronunciation of Vegeta is going to make Jose Youngs go insane. But go ahead.
I don't have the spelling and the pronunciation quality as Alex Quality Lee over here, but
yes.
Do you think, Brandon, do you think Vettori's age factors into this fight at all?
He's 27. Vettori's age? I don't think so. No, I mean, he's like just that right level of been in the fight game for a while, hasn't taken too much damage. His last performance was,
didn't he get a bonus?
Didn't he tap him out in the first round?
Yeah, it was Robertson, right? Yeah, after all that, after all that beef they had and the fallouts and everything. Yeah,
he struggled early.
I mean, what's early? The first minute. I mean, I don't know when you get into the field of fight and there's, you know, a lot of heat on it because of what happened in Jacksonville and all that stuff. It's like he's an aggressive fighter. So maybe his aggression like put him in some situations, but if you can get into trouble and then fight your way out of it and then tap a guy out and get a bonus, I never view that as like, I don't know. I don't view it as a down. If you get yourself into trouble, you get out of it and you finish somebody, especially if you do it all within the span of a round. That to me is more impressive, you know, like, yeah, the fight game happens. You get put in a bad position or you get hit real hard and you're able to recover and then you finish another guy. You know, like Dariush against Dracar Close. Would you be like, oh, it's pretty underwhelming against Dracar Close in that second round because he got hit? It's like, no, took the shot, punched him back, and then he knocked him out. And it's like one of the knockouts of the year. So I would say all things good for Marvin Vettori based on what we've seen recently.
Yeah, I agree. I think fighting through adversity is a positive, you know, especially in a competitive matchup. I mean, I don't think when we saw, you know, Izzy getting hurt by Kelvin Gastelum, we go, man, that Izzy guy, he really, I was really lackluster fight there.
Right. Yeah. So,
yeah. I understand maybe what the commenter is asking, but I think that's looking at it very glass half full. I mean, sorry, half empty. Yeah. It's very negative view on, to me, a positive performance.
Yeah. I think people. Go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, maybe he means just kind of what we were talking about earlier, like, you know, first big name, like you finally got there. You know, it's a big jump from, you know, fighting Carl Roberson to fighting the number four guy in the world. So maybe that's maybe the experience level with the age and maybe that's what he means. I don't know, AK, what was your sort of interpretation of that?
I think people sometimes forget that the best champions, you know, the all-time greats that we look at, like George St. Pierre, like Anderson Silva, some of their most memorable fights and performances, and the reasons we lionize them so much is because of performances where they face adversity. Mixed in, of course, with the dominant highlights, the fights where they completely like handled people and embarrassed them. But I mean, Anderson Silva, you ask people his most famous fight, everyone's going to say Chael Sonnen. I mean, that is the one he struggled the most. And then pulled out the win at the last second. And that is what I would assume, I can't speak for everyone, that most people point to as like, this is what makes a great champion. Not just the highlights, but boy, coming back and sticking in it for five rounds. So, it is something you sort of mentioned earlier, Mike, where if he might have gotten away with some of the mistakes he made against Roberson, but that might not be such a good idea to play if things play out the same way against Hermanson. So perhaps it's kind of where the root of that question comes from, and where maybe Kevin Holland, I think, has kind of said these things about Vettori as well, like, oh, you know, I wasn't impressed by the Roberson fight. But I agree. I think it's best to look at glass half full, be optimistic, and take the positives from coming back from such a tough situation and getting a first round finish and a performance of the night bonus.
Real quick, has Vettori been impressed of anything? Israel Adesanya, maybe on his way to becoming the greatest middleweight ever, not impressed. And like, it's just like, I get his, you know, his attitude, but like, man, every fighter sucks according to Vettori.
You know how the cool kids are these days, Casey. Brendan, you're what? Brendan, you're 27, right? I mean, you know how it is. You kids aren't impressed by anything these days, right? Like everything, you just got everything so cool, right?
Is that to me? I'm definitely not 27.
I was going to say, oh, yeah, you could have fooled me. I was going to say, I think most people would have assumed.
Ooh, one of my, this is my favorite kind of question. Is there a fight on this card that could be considered a sleeper fight? What I mean is a fight that is good, but it's getting much coverage, but no. I'm assuming isn't getting much coverage at all outside of the main and co-main. There's a lot on this card. AK, I'll start with you. What's your under the radar fight on this card?
Is the Evloev Landwehr fight under the radar? I'm not sure it is. Like, are we going to specifically say prelims or just anything that's not like main and co-main? Because it would be the Landwehr Evloev fight. I mean, this is essentially the M1 global featherweight championship bout that never happened. Landwehr, if anyone, I believe you can find a lot of his fights for free on YouTube, his M1 global fights, find some of his title defenses. He was just putting on, he's shown glimpses of it in the UFC. The fight with Darren Elkins was amazing. But when he was in M1, he was just putting on great, he's awesome back and forth battles. And Evloev was kind of the guy who was also kind of coming up. It looked like it would be inevitable they would fight, but of course they eventually both made their way to the UFC. So we're kind of getting that fight now. So that for me is like really highly anticipated. I think people who kind of keep up with sort of the more international, you know, aspect of MMA is also super excited about it. So I do think it qualifies though as under the radar, probably for a lot of, you know, maybe the casual ESPN viewer. So I'll tell people that is an ideal main card opener. I might complain about six fight main cards, but if you're going to have to start off a six fight main card, that's a really good one to start off with.
Which one are you looking at, Brendan, that isn't getting the love that it should be getting?
So that one is, you know, I would say the one that you would circle. I'm surprised that Evloev is a -630 favorite. It's the biggest favorite. Right. On the
-630.
630?
Yeah.
Goodness
that
me.
That kind of surprises me. The other one I'll say is, well, there's two, but where is it? Yeah. Gabriel Benitez, Justin James, I think is just a really fun fight that nobody's going to be talking about before the night starts, but it might win fight of the night at the end. And then Cody Durden and Jimmy Flick, I think, is a great fight too. And that one's really early in the night. So those are my two prelims that I'll say are, you know, your fight of the night candidates based on who you have there. And the lines are a bit closer with that one. I would have said, you know, definitely the Landwehr fight, but I'm surprised that line is so big. I just love Nate Landwehr. I mean, I just love everything about him. So I'm always, you know, looking forward to him fighting. And then you never know what he's going to say on the mic. He's one of those guys. So those are the other other ones I'll give out.
Yeah, I think Dalidze and Allen is going to be crazy. Those two are just going to sling leather until somebody falls. I'm very excited to see Aliyah Teporia back in the octagon. He's got a bet test with Damon Jackson, and Teporia is just his ceiling is so high in my opinion at 145. That fight against Yusuf Salal was so fun, and he just looked amazing in that fight. So that's a guy, like, if there's an under-the-radar fighter, I would say Teporia is probably at the top of my list. I'm really excited to see how he follows that up. Casey, what do you got?
Oh, it's easy. John Volante versus Jake Collier. Oh, man, when I saw the weigh-in photos of John Volante, he is embracing going to heavyweight. Good Lord. It's like, so, and the fact that this is the opening fight in the card, and it's in the small cage, and why I love high level mixed martial arts, I'm just kind of hoping after about 45 seconds they're gassed and just sweaty and just like, I just hope it's just a slobber knocker for about 14 and a half minutes and then someone gets knocked out. But I'm just I love ridiculous fights like that. I'm a big John Volante fan, and I just love how about 10 seconds in every fight he looks exhausted but he's still swinging and everything. So as far as, yeah, I mean, yeah, there are better fights on the card, you know, whatever, but that's the fight to watch. So show up early, kids. Show up early.
We're going to see Matt Wyman fight tomorrow night against Jordan Leavitt. That one intrigues me. I'm intrigued by that one. What else we got? All right. Joseph Boza always coming through with the questions.
Yeah.
Is that Joey Bosa watches your show?
Shouldn't Lewis Smolka be higher up on the card? What's interesting, Dean, is I looked at the card maybe yesterday, as early as yesterday, or maybe Wednesday. Lewis Smolka versus Quinones was supposed to be the first fight of the night, and then they pulled the whole switcheroo, and now he's the featured prelim. So I think it's a pretty good spot for him. I like that being there. It's not the first fight of the night anymore. And by the way, Smolka made the weight, was under 135, 134 and a half. So it looks like he's got that part behind him. And then he's going to fight, you know, Quinones looking to bounce back. Both those guys looking to bounce back from first round finishes. So I think it's a pretty good spot for him. I wouldn't feel like disrespected if I was them. Anybody think that should be higher up? I think it's in a pretty good spot.
You know, Mike, normally I'm so, oh, sorry, Brendan, go ahead.
No, I agree with Mike. I don't,
yeah, it feels about right.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm someone who rails about like how important it is to be on the main card versus the prelims. But for a card like this, where I believe it's all on ESPN2 and ESPN+, so it's almost just like one straight broadcast. I don't even know how much. I'll be honest, I don't, outside of main and co-main, I'm not sure how much card placement matters. And frankly, being on earlier might be better because it's, again, you know, cards are so long. If you're planning to watch the whole card, you're probably more likely to watch the first five prelims, maybe take some sort of break during the main card. I'm not sure when. And then come back for the main and co-main. So you wouldn't want Smoka and Quinones to be in that spot. Opener is always good, of course. As we said, we thought that it was going to be the opener. But no, it's. I don't think it says anything of either guy. Maybe a little slap on the wrist for Smoka for missing weight last time. I don't know. But that's just speculation. I don't have any. I'm just gossiping. I'm just creating headlines. So yeah. Nothing official there. But no, it's not a bad spot to be. They do like to tout the featured prelims. So it's not. So it's good. It's a good spot. And it's gonna be a great fight.
Yep. Looking forward to it.
Well, we're getting questions on other cards. I'm trying to stick everyone to this card, but there doesn't seem to be too much interest. And this card, do you want to take anything from any other cards?
Listen, we got Brendan freaking
of course. We got Brendan here. Bring any questions, man. Of
course. Yeah, we can take a few fun ones.
All right. Yeah. I know. Yeah. People are liking John Volante at heavyweight, though. They enjoy.
Can we call him Giant Volante? Can we go Giant Volante? Is that a thing? Can we get that going?
Yeah.
It sounds impressive, right? It sounds more than kind of the way we've described him before. I'm gonna say Giant Volante. I'll get that going on Twitter.
Anyone know the story behind Jeremy Stevens calling Giga Chikadze butt cheeks after Giga's recent win? I mean, I would have to say it's the last name Chikadze. I don't know.
I didn't even. I think he figured out the riddle. I didn't understand. I didn't understand that either.
AK, something tells you have a much better answer than mine.
I definitely do not. I was also at the time, I will say I was trying to like almost make something in my mind and think that there was something better. But then until I realized it was just a play on his last name. Yeah, guys, that's it. There's nothing, I hate to use this word to answer this question. There's nothing juicier to the to the question. It is just Chikadze, so butt Chikadze. Why are we... I'm so glad that I'm so glad we're here to discuss this, and that we have Brendan's expertise here to address such an important question. So, thanks, guys. Thanks for bringing that to when we have such a great guest on. Jeez, Luis.
I like how it says it's butt cheeks like right over your face.
Oh my gosh, I don't like that.
Open your mind, man. Come on. All right.
Oh no, that's a bummer.
Breaking news. Yes,
breaking news.
Misha Cirkunov versus Ryan Spann has been removed from December 19th. Undisclosed injury from Cirkunov. Yeah. UFC looking to rebook the fight in February. So, all right,
that's from our guy, Aaron Brunstetter and TSN. There you go, breaking that set. But for our Canadian scoop.
Here we got a question about the lady fight. We haven't talked about that.
Sure.
De La Rosa versus Santos.
Card takes another hit.
Now, does De La Rosa get a decision win? Brandon, I got to say, one of the more surprising performances, and maybe it's just because of how she fought in her UFC debut coming out the Contender Series, but one of the most impressive performances that I've seen, and maybe it was surprising just based on the first fight, Tyler Santos against Molly McCann, that was super impressive. She looked amazing in that fight. And now Montana De La Rosa is taking this fight on short notice, about 3 weeks notice, stepping in to fight a 16-1 fighter. De La Rosa is the ranked fighter heading into this one, but a big opportunity for Tyler Santos. What do you think of that matchup? I think it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, Montana's really good, but she hasn't shown the ability to be among the elite. To really kind of match up with the fighters in the top 10 and then thrive against them. But she's just taken care of anybody below her pretty much, you know? Or did she lose to Ara Ujo the last time out too? I can't remember what happened there.
She did.
She's pretty handily too.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Montana De La Rosa, there's a lot to like there. And she's still really young. So maybe but I don't know, Tyler Santos and some of these contender series Brazil. Tyler Santos was from the contender series specific Brazil season that we shot in 3 days or whatever a couple years ago, I think. And some of those prospects, especially on the women's side, have been really good. Santos is one of them. Mayra Bueno Silva is another one. The one who had a draw against Calvillo. Marina Rodriguez is another one. So, there's been several women from that show. And Tyler Santos is one of them. She looks really good. I'm not surprised that she's quite a sizable favorite in this matchup.
One thing, AK, I want to get your take on this fight as well. Even though she got beat pretty handily and it wasn't like a controversial decision or anything against Viviana Araújo, Montana De La Rosa showed that she's a little more comfortable on the feet. Like normally she likes to get fights on the ground. She's got that wrestling pedigree. She gets a lot of submissions, but she wasn't afraid to stand in there and swing them bolos with Viviana Araújo, and Araújo looked great on the feet too, but De La Rosa looks a lot more confident and definitely showed improvement in her striking game. How much does that kind of factor into this? And, you know, what do you think of the matchup?
Yeah, I think anytime you have a fighter like this, she's not even 6 years old. I know she's probably become a bit of a familiar face to UFC fans over the last couple of years. She did The Ultimate Fighter, and you know, she's had a fair share of exposure. So maybe people think that she's older and more experienced than she is, but she's not even 26 yet. So anytime you have, anytime you have a fighter like that, between appearances, they can grow so much. And like you said, especially when they have a fight, even in a loss, where they kind of say, oh, I had some success in this department. Now I know how to apply that in a practical way. I can take that back into training and then now take that back into the fight. So I do think that aspect of her game is going to keep improving. I think she's already a very fun fighter to watch on the ground. I think she'll have the advantage there against Santos. I may study Santos a little bit more, but I do think De La Rosa has maybe the slightly more dangerous submission game. I'm a little shocked looking at the odds. It's like minus 200 at least on most sites for Tyler Santos. I think it's a little disrespectful. De La Rosa has faced a much higher level of competition on her way up. If you look at Santos' record, it's a little padded with respect to her. It's a little padded. So once again, I think I'm going to be my best/worst week of picks yet. I think I'm going with another underdog. And I like De Rosa's chances a lot. So to answer the original question, I think De La Rosa might be able to win, like shock people, win by submission, not just decision.
Wow, look at you making the bold predictions. I like it.
Don't gamble. Never gamble.
Yeah, De La Rosa, when I talked to her, said that it was kind of an interesting camp for her because before her last fight, she trained at Elevation Fight Team. She couldn't go out this time because there was a bunch of COVID-19 positive tests out there. So she had to work with Elliot Marshall via Zoom. Like every day she would check in with him and they would work on that. But she stayed at home. She trained with Lauren Murphy a lot for this fight. So, you know, there's worse people to work with than someone like Lauren Murphy, who's just been surging through this division right now. So it's an interesting fight. I like that one. Maybe we'll take a couple more. Brennan get on with his day.
Yeah. a lot of time at home these days.
Yeah, right. Can Ovin St. Preux make a comeback and have a final run at the title, AK?
You never say never, certainly in the UFC. I mean, look, we've had more unlikely. I think maybe Michael Bisping probably still go down as one of our most unlikely veterans, you know, finally making their way to a title. Certainly, you know, if the things break the right way for Ovin St. Preux, I would definitely bet against it. I don't see it happening. Again, I think he's a really talented fighter. I think he's a guy who, when his career is over, he'll be very proud of it. He's got a lot of good wins in there, the longevity, all the finishes. He might end up with the most finishes at light heavyweight. I guess he wouldn't be eligible this week, unfortunately, to add to that. But making a run for the title, I don't know. I think we've had a lot of good 205ers kind of emerge over the last 18 months. Jimmy Crute, Johnny Walker, a lot of people I'm forgetting, I'm sure. Yuri Prochazka is right up there. So he'd have to get past one or two of those guys to get back to a title fight. It really seems unlikely. And even guys who have kind of other veterans like Grover Cherik, I feel like have outlasted him. Anthony Smith, I think also as well. So I don't know where he fits in. I think he does end up kind of occasionally fighting top 10 guys and then fighting these up and coming guys like Jamal Hill. And there's nothing wrong with that. But no, title fight, I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I'm going with never say never. I mean, I guess that's like the nice way to say it. I mean, you never know. Stranger things have happened, but he's got to beat Jamal Hill before we can have that conversation.
You know, but Ovin St. Preux is one of those guys, like, I remember him in Strikeforce, I mean, and honestly, like I kind of thought of Vincent Prue a bit like I saw Anthony Smith in the past. It was like, good fighter. You know, we're going to see him in the middle of cards a lot, you know, but he's what, 37? The weight cut thing does kind of scare me. I don't know what's up with that. I want to, especially coming at 9 o'clock. That's just very odd. That's just very weird. But man, would Ovince St. Preux be the most unlikely UFC champion? I mean, like, I could say that about Jan. I remember Jan being just a mid-tier 205er, and all of a sudden he's champ. So yeah, we'll go up never say never. How about that?
Jan Blachowicz being champion is just amazing. Like, the guy lost 4 out of 5. He lost to Patrick Cummins, and now he's the UFC light heavyweight champion of the world. Like, wow. No disrespect to Patrick Cummins, but anyone became a fan over the last 2 years and I told you that Jan Blachowicz lost to Patrick Cummins, you'd be like, no, he didn't. You crazy?
Yeah.
When?
Yeah, it didn't happen.
Brendan, what do you think? What do you think of OSP's chance of getting another touchdown? Yeah.
Hate to beat a dead horse, but I think you guys covered it. I think it's a never say never type of thing. There are fights out there for him to make the rise. Like, if he shuts down the prospect and then he fights Jimmy Crute and wins, or Ryan Spann or somebody like that, or Magomed Ankalaev. Like, he's fought so many guys, but there's enough guys ahead of them that makes sense to match him up. To follow up on Casey's point, though, you hop on the scale at 902 and you're 2 pounds over. Like, it's just a question of motivation. At his age and this deep into his fight career, is he even thinking that that's the goal? Is he sitting there like, I'm going to do everything I can to get a title and I'm not going to stop until I can? Because you need to have that attitude. Or is your attitude, yeah, I'm going to cash a few more checks because I'm a big enough name. I put on good fights. I'm going to win some. And, you know, maybe I won't win them all, but I can still do this. My body feels good. I think to get back to the title fight, it takes that next level dedication in every aspect of everything, plus a bunch of good breaks. And so that, you know, that's where I'll leave it.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I agree.
I just can't get over the fact that he missed by what, less than 2 pounds at nine o'clock. Cause you,
yeah,
that means you're out of the 50K, potentially at 50. And OSP is one of those guys that, when he wins fights, he usually wins big. You know, it's usually a big left hand or a really impressive submission.
Or
a
choke, right.
Or, yeah. And being so hype on the card, it's likely you're going to be in the running for a performance award. And then you, I don't know, it's just, yeah.
It's like, really? Yeah. There's a sauna right over there?
You have two more hours. So,
but I think he would have. I want to make this clear. I've never cut weight, and I've never, you know, easy for me to say, go sit in the sauna a little bit more.
Yeah. I think he would have broken. He's tied, I think, with Shogun and John Jones for the most fight night bonuses. So he would have had that record if he got another bonus. But I assume, of course, he'll be ineligible now. But yeah. And 20% also, I think for him, OSP, again, he's been around for a while. That's probably around like $20,000 for Jamahal Hill. So that's not a small. That's not a small amount of money at all, by the way, to take that penalty. So yeah, like we said, we're sure there'll be a story behind it. Probably coming to what the heck? I'm just saying. Like, we have a man named Mike Heck who gets all the answers. So watch that show every Thursday. Plug.
Okay.
So, thank you. Wow. What a guy.
Wow. All right. So before we log off, let's answer this question.
Oh.
What would your guys' fighting nicknames be?
Oh, God. Mine's already taken by a man fighting on this card. One of the we share the same nicknames. Very awkward. People get confused all the time. Handsome Matt Wyman and Handsome Alex Lee. So I mean, definitely I'm going with the old. I love those old school boxer, like handsome, gorgeous. Like, I love those old school boxer names. So I would love to have one of those. It'd be really funny.
Marvelous. Marvelous,
yeah. Pretty is always good. Pretty boy. I like it.
Sugar, AK Lee. I like it.
Sugar, quality again.
There you go. Brandon, have you ever thought about this? What your fighting nickname would be?
I usually think more about my walkout song.
Yeah,
me too.
Nickname. Yeah. I hear a song and I'm just like, I'd walk out to that. Yep. And then I'm like picturing the walk, and I'm, you know. for nickname, this is super cheesy, and I don't know if I would do it. I almost kind of want somebody else to do it. But if you're a rear naked choke specialist and your nickname is the ocean, right? Because they say, don't turn your back on the ocean.
Ooh.
So you don't turn your back on the ocean. And then it's also, you know, water is this dominant force of life. It covers most of, it makes up most of us, covers most of the earth. It's all, whatever. You don't mess with water. You don't turn your back on the ocean. And then you could walk out to Led Zeppelin, The Ocean, which is also a badass walkout song.
That's a whole,
so
you got
that's one.
That's a whole gimmick. That's a whole gimmick. Brendan, the ocean, Fitzgerald.
Right, but it's also cheesy and bad at the same time.
Isn't that MMA?
Right, right. And then, oh, since my last name is Fitzgerald, I was like, oh, I could be Brendan the Tantrum, and then walk out to Fitz in the Tantrums.
There you go.
Whoa, that's a deep cut.
I don't really like Fitz in the Tantrums that much. Like, they've had a couple of good songs, but yeah, that's also not very creative. So I don't know what I would do with the nickname. That's what I got for you.
Sorry. Brendan, have any fighters ever given you a nickname?
No, I mean, so many people just call me Fitzy. Like, Mike knows this, living in New England. It's just like, Fitzy is the thing. So can't be Brendan Fitz Fitzgerald. That's, you know, pretty stupid. So
I feel like if I didn't go with what the, it's a huge miss.
Like Mark Hand of God Beer.
Exactly. Yeah, you just got to roll Mike, through.
Yeah, it's a whole phrase. Yeah, you're creating a whole phrase with your name.
Like when I played high school football, my coach didn't call me Mike or heck, he just called me Watha. That was it. Hey, Watha, get over here. Watha, you're in. Like, that's what it was.
That's a little rude, I'll be honest.
That's what happens.
She did. Young man, I think. Casey the truck, Leiden.
Oh, I get called the brawling panda. That's
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, brawling panda.
That's marketing. Have you copyrighted that?
No. I got I'll go down to the trademark office later today.
I say, hey, comments, people, don't steal that. All right.
I see the TM next to me.
Yeah, I see the YouTube commenters taking that.
Yeah, fighting, being technical and fighting is so boring. You just like, yeah. So coach is always like, Casey, elbows in, stop brawling. I'm like, okay.
Can I read a comment from the YouTube section? Nickname suggestion.
Go for it.
For a fighter. Watch my 666 regular commenter says, I want Sumudayerji to be the nickname of a boy named Sumudayerji. Of course. A little Johnny Cash reference. I saw that joke a lot going around after his win on this past weekend. There's a lot of Johnny Cash jokes going around.
That's a guy to keep an eye on heading into 2021 for sure.
Definitely.
Sumudayerji.
A boy named
Sumudayerji. I also don't think that he would understand your Johnny Cash jokes.
You never know. Yeah, no, that would be. I don't think that translates. That'd be a tough one to translate. That'd be confusing.
Yeah.
Prince of Positivity. Don't get it confused with the Prince of War. Jay Steiner.
No. Oh, our boy Jay Steiner's in the comments.
That's him.
Regular
matchmaker extraordinaire.
Regular on to the next one, contributor.
Yes. Cool. Is that it? We good?
That's it, sir.
All right.
I like Brendan, the ocean. There's no topping that.
Yeah. You are the ocean, and I don't know if I'm able to call you anything else for the rest of our professional careers at this point after the way you laid that out. Man. But really listen, man,
I shouldn't have done that.
That was so good. I didn't even want to go after that.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go. It was so good. But you're the man, Brendan. I appreciate the time. I know you got a podcast, which is very good. Why don't you plug away on that and anything else you got coming up?
So I do my podcast, Fitz Nation. Just try to get a guest on each week, a fighter or a broadcaster or a media member or somebody, you know, in the world of MMA for now, and just chat about their life and career for about an hour. So that comes out on Wednesdays. My YouTube channel is Fitz Nation, podcast Fitz Nation. And thanks for having me on, guys. This was fun.
Appreciate you being here. You can catch Brendan. The broadcast December 19th, the final card of the year.
Oh, you get the big final card. Nice.
I get the big final card that just lost another fight.
There'll be a couple fights left by the 19th. Don't worry. They're like two or three. Yeah. We're good.
Brendan will be good. There. Okay. Brendan will be there. No matter.
We'll see who. No matter who.
That's why we show up. Right? Yeah. Dude, it's the ocean. The ocean's calling the fights, guys. This is
the ocean will be there. December 19th.
Oh, man. Well, we were here and now we're out of here. So for Brendan Fitzgerald, E. Casey Lydon, Alex Cayley, I am Mike Keck. We'll see you tomorrow night, everybody.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over. Age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility. Eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.